Hi guys, welcome back to my channel. We are here on another podcast episode. Super excited. Today is going to be special because it's my first ever collab with a fellow YouTuber. Welcome, Buyile. Yeah, we has been on YouTube for a while, been watching her for some years, so she's like legit.
And well, not legit.
No, legit. Nah, but really excited to have you here and to be talking about what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a chance to tell us just a bit about yourself and like your journey with the Lord, and then we'll get into it.
Sure. So hi everyone, my name is Buyile, or Melody, depends which part of the world you know me from. I was born and raised in Baban Eswatini, and until I was 16, then I moved to Canada with my mom. There was an interesting transition between when I was about to leave for Canada. I was born and raised in the church, yes, but it was never really my thing. It was just my mom's thing, as is often the thing here.
Mm-hmm.
And then that December in 2011, I just started having really bad dreams. There was one night I just saw this big creature and I woke up absolutely terrified because I was like, I know I just saw this next to my bed. I saw it. And so luckily during that time, it was around Christmas time, so a bunch of my family was home, and so I woke up screaming and they asked what happened.
What?
And one of my grandmother was like, okay, I think, you know, this is your opportunity to give your life to the Lord, because as much as we can protect you in earthly things, when it comes to spiritual things, we can't necessarily protect you when you're sleeping by yourself. And so only sure. God can protect you in those moments and be with you in those moments while sure. we're all asleep. And so I gave my life to Christ around that week between Christmas and New Year's. And then I moved to Canada like two, three weeks after that. And so I'm one of those few who really got to start a new life when I gave my life to Christ.
Wow.
And really just start over in a whole different continent, in a whole different country.
Different life.
A whole different life. I got
like
to just do over.
Again.
Yeah, like literally born again in the whole sense of born again, except not being birthed again. So we're all born again. Yes, and so, yes, it's been an interesting journey with Jesus since then. Yeah, it's been a very lovely, lovely experience. Not always easy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Hence the topic we're going to talk about today.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been really, but it's been more beautiful than the best moments before I gave my life to Christ. Yeah. So.
Wow. That's so lovely. Yeah. Buyi does make a bunch of faith-based content as well on her channel. Gonna have a couple of videos linked below. So yeah, you guys should check her out for sure. So yeah, on to today's topic, we're talking about embracing process.
Ooh.
We're talking about patience and waiting, and yeah, some really fun stuff. Love waiting.
I don't know if anyone can ever say they love waiting.
No.
Not at any age even.
No.
Not at any age. Not at any moment
speaking.
Really.
Yeah. But it's something that we have to do a lot as believers. Like
yes.
It's just part of the faith thing.
Yeah.
I was having a conversation with a friend the other day, and he was pretty frustrated on someone's behalf,
mm-hmm.
who has just been believing God for a miracle, like some sort of
yeah.
breakthrough for like a year. And he's like, I don't know, I hear all the verses you're saying, but I sometimes it just doesn't really register. Like,
yeah.
what do you say to someone who has been believing God for something for so long?
Yeah.
And you know, he was talking and I could empathize, but I'm also like, I don't think God's word really changes about that sort of thing. I don't know that anyone
yeah.
can avoid it. Thinking of Abraham, who waited for 25 years.
Crazy.
And then Jesus starting his ministry at 30. Obviously, he was
yeah.
doing stuff before, but really being able to go out there, being launched into it like at 30. I just feel like it's part of faith.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I have some thoughts on it, and then we'll just like,
go ahead. Go ahead, girl.
Two things that I know we normally have to wait for. One is like a breakthrough, some sort of miracle,
mm-hmm.
a promise to be fulfilled,
yeah.
right? Because God makes a lot of promises, and we we have to learn how to wait and keep trusting the whole time. Mm-hmm. And then there's the process of just like growth and character building. So I'm not necessarily, maybe I'm waiting for God has spoken some words over me. Yeah. I don't really see them yet, but I just have to allow the process.
The process to happen. Yeah.
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 So you did a video on your channel.
I did. I think this topic is very interesting because when my mom and I moved to Canada, it was in 2012, and it was indefinitely wanted to go there to become permanent residents. Mm-hmm. And so the process, we had to wait 7 years for that to even happen. And the moment we got to Canada, because of the way that we applied, they took our passports. And so we were literally like stuck in Canada for all those years. We didn't have the opportunity to come back home. It was like you were there. Mm-hmm. And so every year it just felt like, but God, why are you making us wait so long? Like, mm-hmm. We were both in church, we were both serving, we were, you know, and then we're meeting people who would be like, oh, it just happened for me in 6 months. It just happened for you. You just need to pray this prayer, you know, and you're doing that. And it's just like, no, you know, and it was such a difficult time of constantly having to uphold each other's faith that God will do this. God will do this. There's no reason to take shortcuts, because then people start being like, oh, what if you, you know, marry somebody who's Canadian?
I mean, that could help.
You know, and it's just like, it's a shortcut, yes, but it's also not how God would bless that thing. Like with Abraham and with Sarah and with Hagar, it was just like, yes, God had promised, and then it took a while, but now Sarah is like, how about if we try this, you know, the shortcut way. And it's important with the process, no matter how long it's taking, don't take shortcuts. Even if it's from the greatest advice from somebody who is, you know, so trusted in your life. Because, I mean, for Abraham, that is his wife, somebody whose voice he trusted so much. Mm-hmm. But it can't be more than the voice of God. You know, if God is saying, I will be the one who's doing this thing, you can then say, oh, but my friends say, okay, Lord, let me try this way. You know, like the process, it's so important to let God be the one who's determining what this is going to look like, even though it's so hard. It's especially when it's like years, you know,
7 years,
7 years of waiting. And, you know, moments where they would be like, okay, no, we're rejecting your application. We're going to buy you tickets to go back. But it was like, we knew God had spoken that this is your inheritance. I'm going to give you this, right? And so it was like, okay, how are we going to find another way to make this work? Finding a new lawyer, finding, you know, legal ways to make it work. And through all those ways, God showed himself faithful, even in the process. Because sometimes we think if God is saying, oh, you're going to do this, or I'm going to give you this, that thing is the goal, and we're failing to see all the little steps in between where God is answering that prayer, right? Where he is making it work and connecting you to this and leading you to this, and it's all working out.
Wow.
And so perspective is a big thing when we are patiently waiting for God to do something.
Wow. I really love that.
Yeah.
I've heard someone talking about how Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah.
And the way meaning the journey. So
love
just
that.
Yeah,
yes.
Seeing him as the process, part of the process. There's an interesting scripture in Galatians 5:16. I wish I had, this is not an amplified version, this is the New King James, but still pretty good, talking about the fruits of the Spirit. Where is that? Right, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. I like the Amplified because it talks about how it's like patience includes patience, long-suffering. And it says in brackets, it's not the ability to wait, but rather how you act while you're waiting.
Wow.
And I like that you're putting emphasis on that, because really that is what we're talking about, how to be comfortable
in the waiting.
That's a lot of what we do, just
I mean, our whole life is built on waiting, and so sometimes we fail to recognize we should get better at the waiting thing. There's always something else you're waiting for.
Yeah.
I mean, even if that thing you're like, oh, I'm believing God for happens, there's always something in some area, you know, waiting for a family member to be saved, yeah. waiting for, you know, a work opportunity. Yeah. There's like always waiting happening.
Yeah. I think it would be nice to talk about just some ways to get better at waiting, right? Just specific practical things. So maybe to someone who has been in the process already, like I'm a year in, but I'm really discouraged. It's not looking up.
Yeah.
What do I do? I don't know. Sometimes it feels like, yeah, you can, I don't know. To some people, it's like, it's convenient for you to say, don't take shortcuts, but this has to do with putting bread on the table. Like, I'm literally hungry. So how do I keep my faith? How do I, what can I do to make waiting easier?
I think firstly, the shortcuts thing is a very big point to that. So I think when you read the book of Proverbs, there's a lot of all these tales or stories or points of, if you do this, this will be the consequence of something. And so with any shortcut you take in the process, there will always be consequences to it. And even if it's like, oh, but I need to do this for there to be bread, you know, it's like, yes, but you're going to be paying for that for the rest of your life. Is that moment even worth it, right? So we can't be, oh, it's so hard easy to talk about, but it's practically so hard to do. But it's in recognizing that your future self needs you to make accurate and good decisions now, for the sake of what is to come at that place, right? What is another tip you would give to someone who's in waiting?
I think just recognizing that, so the Bible talks about how this is a fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Sometimes we use a lot of our own strength to wait, and that's difficult.
So good, yes.
But when you recognize that, oh, I'm drawing from a greater source of unlimited patience, then maybe focus on that. Jesus talks about abiding in me as I abide in the Father, so that you can produce fruit. In order to produce the fruit of the Spirit, to be patient, focus on abiding, focus on delighting yourself in the Lord so that he will fulfill the desires of your heart.
Yes. And he really does. He really does. If we're honest with him, with our feelings in the waiting, because I think sometimes in the Christian world, we want to cover up the frustrations of the waiting, especially before God. We want to just, oh, but God, I have faith. I'm, you know, really strong. And when we do that, like Sanda's saying, we're trying to do that in our own strength, but he knows that we're failing at that, you know? And he requires children who are able to be naked before him and say, God, I'm really struggling in this area. It's really hard for me to wait right now. I am seeing all these people getting this thing. They are not even working for it or working hard for it, and it's just happening for them. And I am doing the most, you know, doing the most for you, doing the most of my purpose, doing the most. And it's just like, but nothing, right? And being honest with him with the authenticity of your feelings, of your heart. And in exchange, as you're giving him that, he gives you the strength. It's just a constant exchange of your truth with his truth, you know, and giving him the opportunity to speak life into you in that moment, rather than then becoming resentful, like, God, why aren't you making this happen? But still having an open heart to say, but God, whatever you are delaying this for, whatever it is that you're seeing that I'm not seeing, I am open to you filling my heart with, you know, whatever needs to be filled with at this moment until that thing comes, you know.
I love that so much, because I think, I don't know if personality plays into it, but also just probably church culture. I have struggled in the past, especially when it comes to process and just character building, right? Always growing just in general. Struggling with shame and probably perfectionism. Right. So if I heard this sermon in church, if I encountered this word and I'm not able to be transformed immediately then what am I even doing? And it's hard to even talk to God. But I love what you're saying about faith, again, Jesus being the way, the truth, and life, him being part of the journey so that I don't have to be, I don't know, I don't go work on myself.
Yeah, and then secret, present and, that to him.
Yeah, like, look, God, I fixed it
I
all
mastered,
up.
I mastered patience, Lord, look.
You know, Jesus talks about leaving us with the Holy Spirit, who's our helper and our teacher, right? And what does a teacher do? Teaches you. So there is a process of teaching, and is intimate, he gets to be intimately part of your learning process if you invite him in.
It's a good one. I think another thing that could help is also looking at all the times in your life when God has come through, you know, when you're discouraged and you're just like, I've been waiting way too long and this is just taking so long, whatever it is. There's so many other miracles in your past that God has done, where in patience, in your patience, when it was his timing, it was such a blessing. And so constantly keeping those in the forefront of your mind, of always being grateful, always being thankful that, God, you have done this before. And maybe it wasn't exactly the situation, but you have so much evidence, you know, that you're going to make this happen. It's just, this moment is not a reflection of who you are. There is just so much you've done before. And so who am I in this moment to think you're not going to do it, right? But so cool. Emphasis if it's something God said he was going to do. Because, you know, there's a lot of things you're patient for, but God has not said that he was going to do that.
Yeah, that's a big one.
That is a big one.
Yeah. I think sometimes when we're upset about something or feel justifiably just impatient and sad and disappointed in God, it can feel hard to let certain things go, right? Like, I think about all the good things God has done. I'm like, yeah, that's true. Yeah. But I really do want to cling on to this that I'm struggling with currently because it's more real. And if I let it go, then it won't matter. Like, my pain won't matter if I don't think of it. But I feel like, as we're saying, it's a conscious effort that you make, concentrating, focusing on God's goodness, declaring it, putting that to the forefront of your mind. Because otherwise, bitterness is also a choice.
Yeah.
Like, I can get myself, not go say you don't have valid feelings of, oh man, that hurt, that was disappointing. Yeah. But then making the choice, working
to
out
stay
my
in that place.
Laboring to believe. That's part of the faith.
That bitterness doesn't even go with you. Let's say God does answer that prayer, you will still carry that bitterness even when that thing has been answered, because now that's a condition of your heart. And now, even with the thing that you've been waiting for, you're just like, but God could have done it sooner. And you're not even in a grateful state, because you weren't in a grateful state in the process, right? And so it's just, we need to do better, guys.
So that's really good. No, that's really good. I hadn't thought about that, like the fact that it's not always so much the actual miracle that makes you grateful. It is a choice that you make. So how you were acting while you were waiting is going to affect how you're able to celebrate once God has done it.
Or even how he does it, because even how he does it will either make you respond in gratitude or in bitterness, because it may not look the way that you have been believing or you were expecting. And if you're already in a state of bitterness, even when it's like, it's right there, it's right, your drink is right there, it's like, God, but it's coffee, it's not tea. God is like, you were thirsty, here's the drink I am seeing is best for you, and you're still in that state of like, oh, but God is, you know? And so gratefulness in the journey is so important.
I'm thinking of Joseph's story now, and how sometimes hardships can feel unique to us. Like, just, I get that there's nothing new under the sun, but I am facing a very particular set of circumstances that other people haven't faced, and my grief or whatever is justifiable. But I think about Joseph and how he had this dream of, you know, being glorified and everyone bowing, right? And you think, okay, he sees himself in a palace, God is giving him the dream. Obviously, he's going to start by going to palace school and do palace training and then ultimately go there. Like, it's going to be a smooth journey, obviously, because it's such a glorious dream. But it's from there to, like, the actual pits, you know, straight into a ditch and then into a prison. And but in all of that, the Bible does literally say that God is with him and all of that. And so... And then ultimately when he meets up with his brothers, he has this conversation and he's like, I know you guys meant this for evil, but God actually meant it for good.
Yeah.
And so just letting go of the need to control the process or how promises are fulfilled.
Oof, Lord Jesus. Letting go of the control. Oh my gosh.
Just letting go of it having to play out the way you want it to. He's faithful. He will fulfill his promises, but it may not look
the logical or how you've seen things happen before. That's such a hard thing. I feel personally victimized by letting go of control.
Oh man.
Like, but Lord, let me just help you. Let's do this together.
I have great suggestions.
I have really good suggestions. I mean, this mind you gave me, it can do wonders. Brilliant. It can help you out. Okay, so it's like, girl, man. Take a seat.
Learning to be a child.
Challenging,
but really good.
Really challenging. Really challenging, especially as you get older and in, you know, society, you're taught you're old now, you can make your own decisions, you have this like adult freedom, you are your own person. And then with God, he's like, nope, I don't want that part of you. Maybe that works out there, but here with me, I need you to strip yourself even of those clothes of what you learned, what you've seen, what you've heard, and just be a child completely, you know, trusting of their parents. Which is quite a tricky thing to do. Very tricky thing to do.
I was thinking about, well, I heard it in some sermon somewhere, but about how Jesus fasted for 40 days and then the devil came to tempt him with bread, right? And it wasn't, he didn't do that because God was never going to let him eat again. So like, this was his only opportunity to eat. Afterwards, angels came immediately after his angels came and ministered, whatever, but it was just like the setting, the timing of getting that need met wasn't right. And so again, like submitting, even timing, that your needs will be met by God. He will fulfill the promise, but I can let go of the time and forcing things and making it happen myself. That's part of trusting him.
And that's a very good portion of scripture for the evidence of waiting, you know, where it's like all the things he was tempted with are things that he eventually became or had access to, but it was just in that moment God had said, or he had committed in his fasting, that I'm not going to be eating, I'm not going to be doing this, I'm not going to be doing that. And so, yeah, it's really interesting because sometimes when you're in the waiting, it feels like this will never happen, you know, God is never going to answer this for me. And we fail to see like God will answer it, right? And it'll be such a beautiful time when he does, when now you have his stamp of approval, when you have his grace to do that thing, when it's his timing to do that thing, and he's like, okay, go ahead, it's going to happen. That's going to happen. If he has said it, it's going to happen, right? And so keeping that in mind, that this is going to happen, even if it's not today, even if it's not tomorrow, if God has said it, this is going to happen. And like that constantly being in your mind, right? There's been so many areas, one of them being, you know, relationship wise, where you know, in singleness, where it just felt like this is just never going to happen. I might as well compromise. There's no way I'm going to find somebody who shares my same values, who has that same standard. And it was just like, you know, I might as well just like just any random person at this point. I mean, you're cute. Let's just fine. I mean, you're kind Catholic, and that's all your grandma's Catholic. That's the same thing. What do you mean? We have a little in common. Yeah. That's enough, Lord. That's close enough. But God had to remind me it's going to happen. If he has said, I'm going to bring you a person like this, like this, like this, it's going to happen. And having to keep that in my mind, like, whoa. God said it's going to happen. I don't see anyone around me who's even near, close, in close proximity to the things he said this person has to be. Yeah. But when it was God's timing, it did happen. It's delightful.
Nice. I love that, because that's I've been in that place. Yeah. Like, honestly, just many times. And like, corporate worship is fantastic, right? Because when we're in church, I'm just like, oh my God, nice. Yeah, God is faithful. This is totally going to happen. Then I get home and I'm like, this is never going to happen. And I think it's so important to anchor my faith in his nature and not so much just maybe signs around me, like, oh yeah, this is likely going to happen based on my calculations or the effort that I'm putting in, but really just because of his faithfulness. That's the only reason I have to trust, because a lot of stuff that does happen hasn't been done before, right? You can't always guess, because okay, when the Savior finally, when the Messiah finally comes, it's going to be an immaculate conception where, you know, there's no man and physical man involved. Like, that's insane.
Yeah.
But just if I always, what I'm always concentrating on is his nature and his goodness. I love Psalms so much. Like, I love Psalm 145 especially. Just sometimes I read it over and over out loud just to keep it at the forefront of my mind that he is faithful. He does satisfy the longing of every living thing. And that's it. Like, I don't have anything else. Sometimes I have testimonies, which is great. I'm just like, oh, he did it for we. It's coming my way. But sometimes I don't have we's testimony because I'm not even believing for the same thing. All I have is God's goodness and nature based on the word and pure faith.
And it's enough, you know? Yeah. So true.
Yeah. I was listening to Graham Cook. Love him so much. And he was talking about, it's a little clip called The Patience Advantage. And he's like, an advantage that believers have over the devil is patience, because patience is the fruit of the spirit. And so because he doesn't have patience, many times the things that we're facing that are so difficult, sometimes the key that you have to winning is just patience. Like, you can just outlast the devil.
That's he's so good.
Yeah, he's going to give up. He's going to leave. But you get to just keep waiting.
That's so good. That's so good. And I've learned in my own moments of patience that what you build in your relationship with God during that time is something that stays with you forever, you know, because often we're waiting patiently for, you know, earthly things, physical things, but the true treasure is the character that's built in that moment. It's that relationship that's built. It's the communication, it's what the bond you formed with God in that time, which is something that stays with you for the rest of your life. And so it's not always about the thing, right? It's about God at the end of the day. It's about God and being with him and knowing him differently in this season and knowing him. Because now that I've known this side of him, now whatever I'm going to face after this, I already know that side of God. That's something that's staying with. That's something that the devil can never steal from me, you know? Because all the earthly stuff, something could happen, and now I no longer have that thing. But that thing in character, it's with me for the rest of my life and even beyond that. And so, you know, recognize the value even in that, that this is the true treasure, you know? A relationship with God in this area, it's the true treasure. It's the real goal, you know, the real prize. Everything else, it's nice, it's additional, but it's he's the real prize, you know.
Wow. That's I feel like we should end it here. That's it, folks. But that's really, really good. Like, yeah, it's so important to change our minds just about the process in general. I think we just tend to moan anytime it comes up, like patience or whatever. You're like, oh, God. I watched this TikTok about this girl who stopped singing Oceans about leading me with my trust is without borders. She's just like, oh no, thank you. I'm not relatable going there. You know, but it's like, if this is an opportunity to know him even more intimately,
yes,
in a different way,
yeah,
then it's worth it. Like, then the process is, it's worth it,
it's,
man.
It's worth,
like,
it. It's always worth it.
Sure.
Even if it's not the outcome you want, but it's the God you need, you know, for the rest of your life. Because everything, whatever is given on this earth will, it's not going to last forever, and it also will come with its own problems and burden. I mean, whatever you are patiently waiting for, I promise you, all of it, anything you could list, it's going to also come with its own challenges. Challenges that will need your existing patience that you built with God in the waiting for that thing, in order for you to be able to sustain that thing, right?
Wow.
So, yeah, the process is so important. It's so important. Unfortunately.
But I love that, like, what it took to attain it is what you need to sustain it. And also, I was listening to another preacher, Apostle Joshua Selman, and he was just talking about some of the things that we're waiting for are stuff that just requires growth.
Yeah.
It's literally just, you don't have the capacity for this yet. And so
that's so good.
Allow that to happen as well. So much that God, he's a teacher, right? And so he will maybe give you an opportunity with money, right? Gives you something and you don't manage it well. You know, you don't know how to tithe faithfully, or you don't know how to save. You just mess it up, right? And you're believing for something so much bigger. And he's like, hey, we're going to try this again.
Yeah.
Maybe in another 3 months.
Yeah.
And then see how that goes. And it's fine. Like, I'm getting to grow so that when I do have whatever it is, I get to keep it, you know? Because what's the point, right?
Yeah, but it's such a, it's, I think there's certain areas where it's so easy for, you know, hearing these things about, but when it comes to something like a healing, you know, where somebody is diagnosed with cancer or with diabetes or whatever, and they're just like, okay, that's really nice, but what about my healing, right?
Yeah.
What about all these people who I'm seeing getting healed, they come to a service, they're okay, but I have had this thing for so long, and it's, you know, eating at me, deteriorating day after day. Why isn't it working for me, you know? And it's just, ugh, there's some topics it's so hard, you know, because people can give you all the advice that they can give you, all the encouraging words, all the Bible, all the scripture, all the sermons.
Yeah.
But there are certain things that you have to be open to the Holy Spirit speaking to you directly about, where you're not in a space of bitterness, and you can say, God, what do you want me to hear right now about this situation? Whether it is him confirming I'm going to heal you, or if he tells you that that's actually not going to happen, right? And so, yeah, I guess in essence, our biggest waiting as believers is waiting to be with God, you know, waiting to be with God forever. And so even if, for example, you are sick and it just feels like I'm waiting for you to heal me, he is saying, and instead, rather than healing you, he's saying, well, I want you to be with me. We also have to recognize the beauty even in that, which is so hard and tricky, because I think as Christians, sometimes you just want to avoid the death part of, you know, waiting on God or healings and all of that, but some, it's always going to end up being God who decides what that answer is going to look like, and being okay with what he chooses, right? Being at a state where it's like, God, I love you and I trust you, and even if it didn't look the way that I wanted it to look like, I'm still giving it fully to you. I'm still fully yours. I'm fully waiting to be with you, because that's the end goal, right? There's a lot of other goals we could have, but that is the end goal, to be with God you know, united in eternity. That is going to be the end goal forever. We need to remember that's the real goal, you know, in life. No matter how young or how old or in what condition you're at, physically, emotionally, spiritually, physically, that will always be the end goal of what we're working towards. Yeah.
Graham Cook also talks about how with every new season that comes, a lot of moments where we are expected to wait, a good question to ask God is, who do you want to be for me in this season? Because something I learned, an aspect of God that I got to encounter recently was like, God, who is a comforter, right? And some of the stuff I wouldn't have been able to accept, just like when I was panicking and in a lot of pain, and just finally like, okay, God, it's not the stuff I've been doing in the previous season is not working.
It's not working,
you know, I need to ask you specifically, what are you up to? What do you want to do for me? Who do you want to be for me in this season? And then when he just started speaking to me about comfort and very specific things, even through scripture, everything was different. Mm-hmm. Like the season looked very different once I embraced him as that. So leaning into who are you
right now in this season?
Because he is a person, so it's not, yes, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, but your relationship is growing and evolving. The things that he's teaching you now, the things that he's highlighting, and they look different.
They do.
So lean in and be in touch with what he's up to.
And have a relationship. That's really the key with being with God. It's the relationship. Because the seasons will never look like the next. And what worked, like you're saying, what worked, you know, previously for something similar could be what he's not wanting in this current season.
It can seem a little tough, honestly, because it's like, I like formulas, you know, I like rules, I like for you to just say, oh, this is how it works.
This is the structure, we follow the structure every time.
Every single
consistently.
Time, you know, but it's just, maybe the thing that I'm learning is not so much formulas. I mean, sometimes there are principles to apply to certain things, right?
Yeah.
But generally, the thing that I'm actually learning is how to listen better, how to be more flexible, how to move with the wind. Oh, it's fun. Super fun. Oh my gosh. No. I was reading this book by Danny Silk, which just blew me away. It's called Unpunishable. And he talks about how sin begins with the assassination of God's character, right? Just kind of like how it did with Adam and Eve. And then what happens is that you start to believe that God is. It's so crazy how also it's been the same root cause. Like, because when I think about my own life, it's assassination of God's character. You believe that he has created a world of delights, but he will withhold certain delights from you. Right? And so ultimately then I must look out for myself because God's not looking out for me. And then the trouble begins. And I think that's such a huge temptation in the waiting season, because I waited a year, I waited 7, and it's not happening. And I can see that the good does exist for other people. And it seems, in fact, that it works for those that just do whatever they want and not for me. But it's like, it's not true.
it's not true.
It simply is not true.
Yeah.
It is not true that he's withholding things.
He's a good father.
He is.
A really good father.
He really, really is.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's such a great anchor for whatever season we're in.
Yeah.
Just the knowledge of the goodness of God. Sometimes before we can feel it, sometimes my mind will make up its own reasons and explanations for stuff. But my faith it goes beyond the flesh, right? We're not walking by sight, but by faith. And so it's like, God is good. Christians say God is good all the time, but God is good isn't always because everything
things
is
are good. Sweet,
honestly.
Yeah.
Honestly. It's again just looking to his character as an anchor, looking to the word, as looking to Jesus as evidence of God's goodness. Like if he did not withhold himself, his son, from me, I can't imagine that he would withhold
anything that's supposed to be good for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, like things that are good, he's a father as well, so there's a lot of things that are good, but it's just time, like,
yeah,
just
it's
not,
just not the
not
time
now.
For it, yeah,
you know, it's 8 o'clock, like if you're an actual parent, it's 8 o'clock,
yeah.
Don't have sweets, you know, right before you sleep,
yeah.
It's just time,
yeah,
and so you need crazy trust, like childlike trust.
Yes, and even if maybe the thing that is delaying, it is your fault that thing is not happening, God is still a good father, and he has many ways of being like, in this area, I actually need you to do this. You know, there's been areas of my life where he's been like, okay, this is actually delaying because I need you to sow a seed in this person's life, or, you know, put more in your offering. And then the moment I did that, it was like, all of a sudden something opened up. Or I remember once getting a prophetic word where someone was saying, this thing hasn't happened in your life because there's a spirit of delay that has been holding back the things of God from your life. And so sometimes it is like, oh, it's a spiritual battle. But then God is a good father to inform you when that's what it is, right? So it's not... where you're just like, okay, so Sandra said, okay, she needed to sow a seed. Now let me sow a seed.
Yeah.
This person said, okay, they needed to be at prayer every, you know, 5 to 7 a.m. Let me do the same as them. Okay, that person, it happened for them after they did this, you know, and you're trying to take bits and pieces of everybody's thing.
Yeah.
But to trust that God knows how to communicate to you what needs to be done when the season has come, even if it is like a spiritual battle, right, for a thing.
I think there's a scripture, I don't know, that talks about him teaching my hands how to war.
Yeah.
And so just like knowing what tools I need,
what
and what
tools
moment,
you need. Yeah. And it's a thing we're just saying about knowing the season, or always having your ear open to God to know, in this season, this is the tool that's necessary, and not just using previous tools that maybe worked excellently before, but now God is like, that's actually not what you need for this particular situation.
Knowledge is such a great resource as well, just in general. Like, I love to learn, and I feel like, I mean, the Bible does talk about how my people perish because of lack of knowledge. Really, honestly, sometimes the waiting seasons we're in are just because we don't know.
It's true.
Literally.
It's so true. It's so true. We don't know how to get out. We're not trying to learn more about a particular thing. We're just like, oh, okay, it's not coming. Then it's not coming, you know?
So sometimes in your waiting, it's not always just sit back, relax.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's go after it.
Yeah.
What, find it in the word, be aggressive in searching it out, you know?
Yeah. Listening to messages. I mean, we live at a great time where we have podcasts, there's YouTube videos, there's, I don't know, Instagram channel. There's just like a whole lot of information out there that you can access about so many different things concerning God, and so many different preachers who all, you know, hear God and can share different revelations. And there's so much we can learn from that, even in whatever season or whatever thing we're waiting for.
Absolutely. Get equipped, guys. Like, it's 2021. You have no excuses anymore. Yeah.
Unless your internet has been shut down.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And buy books. Books as well. Those
books
cannot be shut down.
You can't steal your books. Oh my gosh. Yeah. This has been such a good chat. I don't know if you have any maybe final thoughts on waiting.
No. You said everything that can be said. Overall, a relationship with God is what you need.
You know,
that's where all the answers come from. That's where the timing comes from. That's where the character comes from. That's where clarity comes from, that's where strength comes. It's literally all your relationship with God, you know, 100%. And the people you keep around you who will push you to that relationship with God, even when you're just like, I'm done, I'm tired, you know. Yeah,
that's really good. Final thought is apply that patience to yourself as well. So in the process of learning, that's what you're doing, you're learning. So I will go back to messages like this, honestly. I will come back to do, because when I wait, it's just, it sometimes feels like I've never waited before.
It's true. It all just disappears.
It's all gone. What? You know, so I think it's fine to keep going back to the word. Like, we have one Bible, it's a limited amount of scriptures, but we keep going back, and it's a lot of the same stuff, but like, there's fresh revelation each time. So it's fine for you to keep learning each time, even about the process.
The same thing,
it's really okay.
There's always more. There's always more in every topic concerning God. You never reach the limits in any topic with God.
That makes me sad a bit. I wish I could graduate.
I was like graduating high school to go to university.
Like,
it never ends.
You can always learn something else. I love learning, but a certificate would be nice.
It's like in North America where they have graduation for preschoolers going to grade. You can get a preschool certificate.
Thank you.
It's like, but they're still real school.
Jeez.
Never ends.
Never does. But it's fun. At least God's
We chose this life.
I can't imagine a different life.
I feel like it would be really sad. Because at least we always have access to Him.
This has been a really good chat. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. Thank you so much, Ms. Bui. You're a well of wisdom and jokes. And I hope we can maybe do one of these again. Alright, guys. Please like, share, subscribe. The whole thing.
The whole thing.
Bye.